multinational corporations dancing on the ruins. Multinational corporations dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Say goodbye to plastic and goodbye to cars. No more convenience stores. Hello to stars. No more Wall Street and no more Pentagon. Thinking about these things makes me happy.
This is Bob Petragas with WCRS here with Connie Goodell Newton for another episode of Fight Back in Solartopia. We're privileged today to be here with David Cobb, who's barnstorming here in Ohio in the finest tradition of left-wing progressive populism. And he's talking about a move to amend. Move to amend. David, what are we amending and why?
Well, Bob, thank you so much. We are moving to amend the U.S. Constitution because the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It is the charter that actually creates the government of the United States of America, and the government of the United States of America is profoundly racist, sexist, and oppressive to working people, and the United States of America is not now, nor has it ever been, a functioning democracy. So we're amending the charter, which is to say the Constitution of the United States, in order to make the promise of democracy a reality.
Okay, but what is this specific amendment? What is it that we want to change? Isn't this the greatest system on earth? And why do you want to change it, David Cobb?
Well, the first amendment, the principal amendment, is to strip corporations of the illegitimate claims that they are persons with constitutional rights. This illegitimate doctrine of corporate personhood allows corporate lawyers to go into court and overturn democratically enacted laws that attempt to control their conduct, their harm, their abuse. Laws that protect our environment are being overturned. Laws that protect our water and our air are being overturned. Laws that protect our elections are being overturned. Laws that protect workers are being overturned. Why? Because corporations claim that their inherent human rights are being violated. Ya basta. Enough already. This is outrageous. It's illegitimate, it is illogical, and we are going to amend the Constitution to strip that right. But Bob, it goes deeper than that, because ultimately I would like to see an amendment where we acknowledge that Congress has to declare a war, but it requires a popular referendum of the will of the people before the president can execute and implement that war. And what about a constitutional amendment to guarantee a right to health care or a right to clean air and clean water? A constitutional amendment to guarantee the right to adequate housing or enough food to eat. Bob, if we're going to create a democratic society, let's be serious. As serious as the American revolutionaries themselves or the abolitionist movement, the women's suffrage movement, all of them realize that if we're really going to be serious about winning, we've got to address the Constitution and the court system.
So I take it you're not buying John Yoo, who worked at the White House, his famous argument that for Congress to declare war, all they have to do is recognize that there's a war going on.
Yeah, that's right. That's again, as a lawyer, Bob, you and I, we know, the three of us are all lawyers, and we know that outrageous legal claims and legal arguments can be made all the time. But at the end of the day, the American people understand and know that we have lost control of this country, and the legal system is not a place where we can go for justice. The court system does not distribute justice. The legal system protects the property rights of the ruling elite, and we need to understand that we need to build a strong, powerful social movement that includes a legal strategy, but also has a political strategy and also has a direct action strategy. We've got to use all the tools in the toolbox to actually dismantle the oppressive system of corporate capitalism and create the kind of peaceful, just, compassionate, and sustainable world that we so richly deserve and so desperately need.
So let me get this straight. Perhaps that famous quote that corporations have no soul to save and no body to incarcerate could be at the crux of the problem here in the United States?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, not only do they have no body to incarcerate or no soul, but they have no conscience. I mean, the reality is that we have created a legal system where not only do we allow these unelected and unaccountable corporate CEOs to make these kinds of decisions, but oftentimes we literally require under law that they engage in destructive conduct because it's, quote, in the best interest of the shareholders to rape the planet or oppress the workers. This is outrageous, and it is stupid. It is literally insane that we have created this legal system, and we've got to turn it around.
Well, in reality, we all know as lawyers that the people on the boards have a fiduciary duty to the stockholders to use their best business judgment to maximize profit, not to look after the interest or the public good of the people of the United States. And as you're well aware of that famous movie, The Corporation, which I think every American should watch, when they bring in the FBI profiler, and he says, if you look at the way corporations act, it's just like a psychopath,
right?
Somebody with no consciousness. And they're legal. It's legally structured there. Then it has to be systemic then, doesn't it?
Well, it does have to be systemic, and that's why the move to amend.org, we are calling for systemic change. Again, not just for corporate personhood, but for a series of amendments to democratize all of our institutions, but especially our government. And you know, Bob, the shareholder primacy that you just described, remember this, that was actually created as a doctrine by the court in Dodge Brothers versus Ford Motor Company. Before that, corporations were required to act in the public interest, not the private interest. It's another example of how these unelected and unaccountable judges have completely flipped the script, turned the legal system against us. And at the end of the day, we've got to build the kind of movement that is going to shift the courts. We've got to be serious about our movements, and I'm encouraging listeners of this community radio stations to do two things. One, give money to this community radio station during pledge drives so this community tool continues to be a place where you hear non-corporately filtered news, information, and analysis. And two, go to the website, www.movetoamend, sign the petition yourself, join 85,000 people in growing who have joined it, and then forward it to family and friends. Let's keep this movement going.
And again, David speaking here tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to get some quotes for that. But part of it, you know, these things evolved over time, David, you know, as we wrap up here. But first, you've got a charter. It's real hard to get. You have to do the public good. It's only for massive programs like ferrying across the river into New York. And then suddenly you've got the New Jersey charters. You can any lawful purpose, as much money as you want. Then you got Delaware adopting the same charter and their own courts for corporations. And here in Ohio, you may know this, but in Ohio, you can get a corporate charter and leave the purpose blank. And the state will assume it's for any lawful purpose. And the mob in Youngstown has always welcomed that when it came to creating corporate shells and stealing money and doing organized crime.
I think it's really interesting that that we have corporate personhood and yet animals are property. It seems like that should be reversed, that corporations should be property. And maybe, you know, it seems like our pets, animals, are a lot more like people than corporations are. Factory farmed animals. I mean, that's something that I would like to see change, just like kind of reverse that legal fiction so that we don't have corporations being treated as if they're human and animals, which actually share a lot more characteristics with humans, being treated only as property and not as people under the law.
Well, you know, I think that that's a profound observation on your part. And I would say this, not only should animals be understood to have inherent innate rights, but so should nature. And at the end of the day, I actually believe that we can start moving towards a legal system that actually enshrines and protects the rights of all living things, and that we understand that concentrated capital is only property. That's all it is. And we should treat it accordingly. And yes, we should have political battles and disputes over how we allocate our resources and how property is distributed and so forth. But you know what? Those are political questions. They're not legal questions. And when we go into court and allow courts to create unelected and unaccountable judges to join with unelected and unaccountable corporate CEOs to make these kinds of decisions and create these kinds of institutions, we've lost any pretense of democracy.
Another thing that I've noticed about corporations is if you think about policy and the steps that people go through when they're thinking about policy and the effect it has on people's lives, when people are creating policy and laws in government, I think there is an analysis of what's good for the public interest. But corporations are entities that also have a profound effect on people's lives, as if it's, you know, policy. Large corporations affect lots of workers' lives, lots of consumers' lives, they're not held to the same standard as when we're making laws or policies in a governmental context. So I would just like to see corporate policies, since they do have such a huge effect on people's lives, if you think about insurance companies, instead of just maximizing profit for shareholders, they need to be thinking about their stakeholders in the community and everyone whose lives they affect.
Well, you know, it's interesting. For the first 75 years of this country, corporations were properly understood to be fully public entities. The charter was only granted for a limited purpose, not for any lawful purpose. They had to be for a very specific purpose. Their charter only existed for 10 years.
Their money was limited, absolutely.
Their profits were actually limited. And get this, specifically, they had to pledge to always act in the public interest. And if at any time a corporation was found to act outside the public interest, their corporate charter was revoked, the corporation was dissolved, and the assets were distributed. So what you're describing is not just where we should go, which I agree. We should also recognize that's how the laws used to operate for the first 75 years in this country. All it takes is the political will to use those same mechanisms, those same legal doctrines, to redo what we once had. And I want to be clear, I'm not saying for the first 75 years we had the land of milk and honey for workers, but the reality is the ruling elites at that time used the institution of slavery. And when slavery was finally abolished as a result of a broad social movement that culminated in a civil war. These elites began to strip away the restrictions on corporate conduct and then began a relentless assault to assume various constitutional rights to allow them to overturn laws. So we need to absolutely start to rein in the corporation as an instrument and a mechanism, but we also have to build a democratic movement in this country where we make and demand that we are allowed to participate in making and implementing the decisions that affect our lives. And that's going to have to be done not only at the legal level, but at the political level, at the militant social movement level, direct action. We got to actually take ourselves seriously. Rise up, get up off your knees, and join the movement, movetoamend.org.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this last question. Would it be any different if Move to Amend had gets the amendment through, would it be any different the way BP is acting right now?
Bob, what a setup question. Absolutely right. I mean, let's be clear. British Petroleum is responsible not for a spill, but an unmitigated disaster. You know, you spill a cup of coffee or a glass of milk. And so would it be different? You bet it would, because if the Green Party were actually in control of Congress, what we would be doing right now is seizing British Petroleum's assets, and we would be using those assets to actually stop that spill and do a real cleanup.
And compensate the people. Make them whole, because what's down there...
And the ecosystem, right?
That's
like
right.
The sister said, and the animals ecosystem. And the ecosystem. Yes, but
and
compensate.
Generations of lost jobs. And as Harvey Wasserman likes to say, it's a gusher down there. They've hit a gusher, and it's underwater. It's not a spill.
No,
they've ripped the heart of the planet open, and they're destroying the Gulf and our oceans.
That's right. And if people like me and Bob and others were actually in government, what we would be doing is seizing BP's assets right now and using those assets to first contain that gusher, that disaster, and then secondly, use those assets in order to compensate the workers, the people, and do a real, full, complete cleanup for the ecosystem.
All right, that's David Cobb, and I'll give Connie Goodell Newton the last word here on Fight Back.
So, Bob and David, did you hear what Obama's new favorite food is?
Tell us.
Dolphin smothered in crude.
Boo.
All right, we're out of here. Bob Trace, thank you very much, David Cobb. Move on.
And thank
move
you.
To amend.
And thanks so much to WCRS for being the voice of the people. You're choice for non-corporately filtered news, information, and analysis. Fight back.
WCRS 98.3, 102.1.
This is Ed Foreman from Miller Kelton, and we are playing on July 10th at Ruby Tuesdays, and then again on July 17th at the Shrunken Head, the bar formerly known as Vic's Cafe. If you get a chance, come on down. So this is Talking Oil Slick Blues. It was way back in 2010, I was drinking hard with some of my business friends, talking about drilling for oil way down there in that Texas soil. It's too muddy. It's not cost effective. Gonna run out of business by them there, Arabs. This British guy with steel resolve, he says, man, I got your problem solved. We're drill for oil nice and cheap way out there on the ocean deep. We'll get a platform. Gonna float it on out there, and I tell you what could possibly go wrong. And we set up our oil drill with all our patriotic will, and some guy from the U.S. nation threatens us with regulation. It's communism. Impermissible invasion of the private sector. Somewhere, somehow, Sarah Palin will be terribly upset. You betcha. So we tried another American institution and made some political contributions. Our congressperson ain't so bad, but he's still gotta pay for TV ads. Say hello, deregulation. Goodbye, PESCO-E, Weasley, Environmental Protection Agency. And just do whatever the hell you want, I guess. Then one day out there on the ocean, we have ourselves a little bit of a cash explosion. Oil pollutes the offshore waters. Save some birds and scrub some otters. You can't stop it. Don't know how to. And bless my soul, I can't stop the oil well. The politicians here again, gonna blame it on my British friend. Never mind the fact they let you operate without inspectors. It's Republican greed. It's Obama's Katrina. It has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that it is incredibly and irresponsibly dangerous to be drilling for oil in the middle of the freaking ocean. But on one thing they'll all agree is that's we're the land brave and free, and we sure as hell are nowhere through drilling out there on that ocean blue. It's the price of freedom. We want more of it. Drill, baby, drill, and stick you, President Alahima Jihad. Yeah. Well, I'm still not quite certain who's in charge, though Rupert Murdoch's living large. Meanwhile, it's the end of spring. They still haven't fixed the goddamn thing. They're gonna stop it by building a giant sandbar off the coast. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
In Columbus, they were shopping on the first day.